satisfy your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, February 24th. There was violence in Tijuana over the weekend after a powerful cartel leader was killed. More on that next, but first, the headlines. No more digging holes at the beach? Signs will be going up at Del Mar beaches saying that you can't dig holes in the sand anymore. At least none that are more than 2 feet deep. The new rule was approved by the city council earlier this month. The council says holes deeper than 2 feet are a trip and fall risk or a collapse hazard. They also say the holes can limit access for emergency services and lifeguards. NBC7 says the ordinance goes into effect in mid-March, which is when signs will go up. Violations could result in fines. San Diego beaches being some of the absolute best around might sound like a personal opinion, but according to TripAdvisor for one beach in particular, it's a widely held one. La Jolla Cove has been named the number one beach in the United States by TripAdvisor for 2026, and seventh best in the world. They cite things like stunning cliff views, surfing, tide pools, and the cove's colony of sea lions. TripAdvisor says the rankings are based on the number of above and beyond reviews. Congrats to La Jolla Cove. Forecasters say that drier, warmer weather will continue throughout the week. Temperatures will be above normal for this time of year. The National Weather Service says Friday is anticipated to be the warmest day, with highs in the low to mid-80s for the county's inland valleys. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
San Diego County is known for being one of America's most expensive regions. Locals are feeling the squeeze and looking for solutions. KPBS's new series, Price of San Diego, delves into the rising cost of groceries, childcare, car insurance, and even our beloved California burrito. You won't want to miss this ongoing series live now at kpbs.org/priceofsandiego.
Vehicles and stores were set ablaze in Tijuana Sunday by members of a Mexican drug cartel. It was a response to the killing of a powerful cartel leader near Guadalajara. Reporter Gustavo Solis says by Monday the violence had died down and the city was largely calm.
The streets of Tijuana were mostly quiet on Monday, the day after Mexico's military killed the leader of the powerful Jalisco New Generation cartel. Cartel members set vehicles and buildings on fire in Tijuana and throughout Baja California on Sunday. It was part of a wave of chaos and violence throughout Mexico. The U.S. consulate in Tijuana warned Americans to stay indoors, avoid unnecessary movement, and stay away from crowds. Baja California Governor Marina de Pilar Ávila addressed the public with an emergency broadcast.
Lo más importante es esto. No hay personas lesionadas y las autoridades estamos actuando con coordinación y firmeza para proteger a las familias.
The most important thing to know, she said, is that there are no reports of deaths on Sunday. And lastly, the governor told citizens to follow three simple rules.
Mantener la calma, informarse únicamente por canales oficiales y no difundir información no confirmada que pueda generar miedo o confusión.
Stay calm, get information from official sources, and do not spread misinformation that could cause more fear and confusion. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
San Diego police are stopping fewer drivers than in previous years, while traffic deaths have increased significantly. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta says several factors are at play.
San Diego police are stopping a lot fewer drivers, and the number of people dying on our roads has gone up a lot. In 2014, San Diego police stopped over 144,000 drivers, according to city data. That year, there were 78 fatalities on our roads. In 2022, police only stopped 49,000 cars, and 124 people died in traffic. San Diego is not alone. Statewide data show similar trends across California. Lieutenant Cesar Jimenez from SDPD said there are several reasons for the decline in stops, but pointed to new reporting requirements, and he said there are just fewer officers on the force compared to 2014.
We are not intending for traffic collisions to go up or traffic deaths to go up, obviously, but it's more to kind of look into.
The city wants to lower speed limits on several roads, but Aria Grossman from Circulate San Diego says
efforts to reduce speed limits will literally have no effect if these new speed limits and laws aren't enforced.
And building safer roads, things like speed bumps and roundabouts that are in the city's Vision Zero plan, takes time and money. That's why California passed a law to reestablish speed cameras in select cities. San Diego isn't one of them. But advocates and the police agree it could be a useful tool. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
After 4 weeks on strike, Kaiser nurses, pharmacists, and other frontline staff are prepared to return to work today. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco explains.
Union leaders say negotiations over the weekend led to enough progress to formally end the strike. However, they haven't reached a final contract agreement with Kaiser. In a statement, Kaiser says the union has accepted their wage proposal. They say they're optimistic about reaching a contract agreement soon. The strike involved more than 2,000 frontline healthcare workers in San Diego County. It's part of a larger statewide walkout over staffing levels, pay, and workload concerns that the union says directly affect patient care. For patients, the most immediate change should be more consistent staffing. During the strike, Kaiser relied on temporary replacement workers to keep hospitals and clinics operating. Negotiations are expected to continue in the coming days. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
The Trump administration is swiftly closing gaps in the California-Mexico border to stop humans from crossing, but the construction is also dividing wildlife from precious resources. Environment reporter Tammy Merga says scientists and conservationists are calling for compromise.
On the eastern edge of California's peninsular ranges, the Jacamba Mountains reveal their dramatic pattern, tall, jagged spines with steep slopes dropping into dusty valleys. On a recent morning, Christina Aiello looks out of the window of a small plane to see how far they extend into Mexico.
The chain of mountains ahead of us, it's all part of the peninsular ranges, which go all the way from Palm Springs down into Baja California Sur.
She's a biologist with the Wildlands Network. She's trekked here in the rugged Jacamba Wilderness before. The aerial view offers a new perspective and a moment of reflection.
Before we kind of fragmented and developed this habitat, that mountain range was one continuous range of habitat for species like bighorn sheep.
It wasn't until the 1990s that miles of steel plates began dividing most of the California-Mexico region. Where nature provides a natural barrier, the metal wall stops. The rocky ridges didn't stop the bighorn sheep from migrating between both countries. But that axis started shrinking late last year.
The bollard wall stops, and that is where the razor wire begins.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, has been adding large coils of concertina wire along the near vertical slopes. They're part of the federal government's plan to seal the last remaining gaps in the border wall. Aiello says they put collars on some of the sheep and are tracking
for signs of them being caught in the fence, because right now, Customs and Border Protection are telling us concertina wire is not a threat to wildlife.
But, she says, wildlife does not recognize the wire fencing as an impassable barrier. They may attempt to cross it and risk getting tangled up and injured. Back on the ground in Mexico, Enrique Ruiz hikes the dusty desert valleys Aiello saw from the sky. He's a researcher at the Autonomous University of Baja California. He's looking for bighorn sheep.
This is the proof of the sheep.
He points to droppings the size of lima beans near where water leaks from a pipe. He says they come to this place and an oasis to drink. Ruiz says closing the border wall will split the species home range in half. He says in the U.S. is where they have their food. If you notice, there's not a lot of vegetation here for the sheep, but they come for water here. Borregos, or sheep, are one of the most cherished animals in Baja California. Their iconic curled horns and grit against the desert environment are depicted in indigenous rock engravings. To preserve this emblematic species, the university established a sanctuary. Rhys works on the sanctuary project. He says conservationists are shifting their focus to the border region because of the closure. They're starting to work with Aiello to document wildlife crossings before the wall is completed. He says the aim of the study would be to demonstrate the importance of keeping it open. Rhys and Aiello say wildlife openings on the wall are one way to keep the habitats connected. They want small passages the size of a sheet of paper and larger ones that accommodate animals like the endangered bighorn sheep. The Wildlands Network has evidence that these passages are working in other states. Their cameras show crossings by mountain lions, javelinas, and coyotes. Christina Aiello again.
It can allow animals to get some resources that they need. That, at least, is avoiding some of the worst impacts. So we think they're going to be included here in California as well.
CBP confirmed that it is working to identify locations here for small wildlife passages. But there are no plans for large openings. Instead, large animals would have to use new floodgates if they are open. Aiello worries the option is incompatible with how some species migrate. She hopes CBP will be open to other ideas.
I think asking for no new border barrier is unrealistic, and we've kind of accepted that. But I think that doesn't mean we totally give up the effort for making things better for wildlife. I think we just adjust what we ask for, and that is going to involve compromise.
Scientists and conservationists say animals stuck on either side of the border will travel far outside their range in search of food and water. But another major man-made threat awaits them. That's part two tomorrow. Tammy Murga, KPBS News.
The Oceanside International Film Festival kicked off its 15th year at the Brooks Theater on Saturday. Tomorrow, it moves to the Star Theater for three more days of films. Cinema junkie Beth Accomando has this preview.
The Oceanside International Film Festival's opening night film at the Star Theater is the compelling documentary Desert Angel. Artistic director and co-director of programming Carly Starr Brulo Niles says the film's directed by Vista filmmaker Vincent DeLuca.
He followed a very emotional story about Raphael, who came to this country as an immigrant 40 years ago. He legalized himself, and then he started on a path to help the new immigrants into safety.
Brulo Niles will also host Saturday's one-on-one talk with filmmaker Catherine Hardwick.
Catherine Hardwick and I worked together on three different films. She's just an extraordinary artist. She's just going to go through her process, really, of how she makes a film and how she develops it.
The discussion will include a Q&A with the audience, followed by the festival's closing night awards show. And a reminder, the Oceanside International Film Festival is moving from its usual home base of the Brooks Theater to the Star Theater just down the street on North Coast Highway for events Wednesday through Saturday. Beth Accomando, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Your celluloid addiction with the Cinema Junkie podcast, where you can mainline film with the people who make them, as well as those who love them, program them, and celebrate them for their cultural impact. Listen to Cinema Junkie wherever you get your podcasts.